Բարև ձեզ։ Ինչպե՞ս եք այսօր։ You know what? You look amazing from here. Amazing. You should come and see yourself, really. When I look to you, I'm seeing God's grace is in you. And that's amazing. Well, ben çok heyecanlıyım. I'm really excited. You know, when I was coming here, I just tried to fix this tie. Then I said, okay, it didn't happen. Then I tried to make it again. Then it didn't happen. I tried to make it again. Last time I did it at my before just my wedding service. So I'm really excited. Well, honestly, a couple times I had a chance to come to US, your country, but I said yesterday already, I'm really feeling at home here. So even you don't want me, I think I will come again here, again and again, again. Praise to God. Thank you for your hospitality. Really, I'm not feeling as a guest here in your city. That's amazing. Thank you for your love. I felt it. You know, you hugged me. We talked. You prayed for me. I'm feeling at home. Still, I'm missing my son and my daughter and my wife, of course. But when I go back, I will miss you too. Thank you for your love. Well, we will talk an issue, storms, difficulties, zorluklar, problemler. Maybe you don't have here, do you? We have in Turkey. But probably you heard hundreds of times this kind of sermons about difficulties. So, a story coming to my mind about this. You know, one day, one man goes to the pastor, Badveli, whatever we say, and says, you know what? Last 40 years, I'm attending to this church. This church is a blessing to me. And 40 years, you are preaching. You are the great preacher. But honestly, I don't remember what you preached 2 weeks ago. Or 3 weeks ago. I don't remember whatever you preach in last 40 years. Maybe we should replace the sermon side of our church. Maybe we can do mercy ministry, pray, but maybe you shouldn't preach because I don't remember. And I guess nobody is remembering what's going on, what you preach in 40 years. So, Badveli, he was a smart man, filled with God's Spirit. He said, well, I'm married last 42 years. My lovely wife is cooking for me last 42 years, every day. But honestly, if you ask to me, I don't remember what I ate 2 days ago. So do you think we should replace that service with something else? Then man said, well, no. What I believe, all of the words in Bible, we should remind again, 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 because they are feeding us, our spirit. So probably God saved me, Jesus saved me, let's say 18 years ago. Probably I heard many sermons from same issues, but they all blessed me in different ways. I was shaking when I was coming here because I felt as a family here, but the privilege was going in front of the family. This is scary, you know. I was excited and sharing the God's word. But I looked to all of your faces and I prayed, may God has at least one word for each of you. I pray today. I believe God will answer. God will speak all of you with at least one word today. Before we go to the verses, I want to start with a short story of my father. My father was a believer, actually first my mom came to Christ in my family, then my 9-year-old sister, then Ari, my brother, they both are here, then my father, and I am the last from my family. Well, 2 years ago, when my father was struggling with cancer at the hospital, the situation is hard. We were going to hospital after every day, praying for my father. We were praying together. And there was someone else in the room too. 4 kişi vardı. There were 4 more, 3 more. One of them, uncle, amca, we say in Turkish, was struggling with cancer too, but situation was harder. He was crying every night. He couldn't sleep. He was a Kurdish guy. When we were going to hospital to my father, we were singing worship songs, joyful. But he was crying. So one day, I said, uncle, you know what? I want to pray for you too, because I believe Jesus is living God. So I believe he can help you too. What I learned that day, if somebody has problem, offer your prayers. They will not refuse. So he said, okay, whatever. And I said, I will pray in Jesus' name, not like your prayers. I will pray in, he said, whatever, come. And I prayed. You know what? Next morning, his wife came to me, hugged, and said, you know what? Your prayers worked. He slept first time in last years, first time. They were joyful. Well, today's sermon's topic is, I found this, talking with the storms. Can we talk with the storms? Can we communicate with the storms? We will talk about this. So we will go to Jonah's book together. Probably we all know about Jonah, the guy. Okay, let's see. At the first chapter, first verse says, God talked to Jonah, son of Amittai, Jonah. He said, stand up, go to the Nineveh. Go to that city and say them they need to repent. They are doing bad things. They need to repent. So Jonah got a calling from that moment. God called him to go to Nineveh and share God's word. Then, what happened? Before we talk this, we need to remind this. Jonah was a prophet, is a prophet. We need to know this. God chose Jonah for the situation. Then, what he did? He heard this word, and third verse says, but Jonah, I'm reading from NIV, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. So God said to Jonah, go to the left side, and Jonah said, okay, I will go to the right side. That's what I did years and years, so not surprised to me. Maybe you are not doing it still, but sometimes I'm struggling with it. God says something, but I'm doing something else. Then, what happened? Fourth verse says, then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. Does God send the winds sometimes? Well, this is the verse says. Can God send storms sometimes? Well, this is the verse says. What we know about this storm, this wind, This was a supernatural wind, not a normal wind, not like just Miami Beach, just a big wind. It wasn't like that. It was a supernatural, strong one. It was threatening the ship to break up. So, what was the calling? Jonah had to go to Nineveh and said, turn from your ways. Follow your calling. What was the Nineveh's calling? They weren't Jews. They were in another nation. What were their calling? Their calling was to worship God too. Like the Jewish people. Like our calling. What is our calling? Worship to Yahweh, God. What was Jewish people's calling? Worship to God. What was the Nineveh's people calling? Worship to God. God was calling Nineveh to follow their calling, but Jonah decided to not follow his calling. So he went the other side. Why? From fourth chapter, we will see Jonah was a racist. He didn't like those people. He didn't like the idea that God was calling them to repent, because if they repent, God will forgive them. And he didn't like this idea. Because those people, from historical evidences, we know that those people were wild, you know, burning the people, other nations, killing everybody. They were wild. Actually, a couple of years later, we will see when Jews turned from God, Nineveh's people came and took 10 tribes of Israel, took them to their country, and they never could go back. So they were strong soldiers. That's why probably Jonah didn't want them to repent. Well, he had a good reason in his own context. Every racist has a reason in his own context. But in God's context, this is wrong. Why God choose Jonah, who has this difficulty in his heart? God could choose someone else, but he chose Jonah to do it. What happened? Fifth verse. There were other people, of course, in the ship, so they were afraid. So they were in the storm. They were fearing, oh, we will die here. The ship will break up, we will die. And what was Jonah doing at that moment? So the Bible says he was sleeping. Imagine, storm, sounds everywhere, ship is shaking, everybody is crying, we will die, we have kids, we will not see them, I will not see my wife again, I will not leave tomorrow, I will die today. But what was Jonah doing? Sleeping. How a man can sleep in front of a storm? Just a question. Well, the captain of the ship, sixth verse, goes to the Jonah and says, how you can sleep? How dare? What are you doing, man? We are dying. Are you sleeping really? What are you doing? For example, I saw the team yesterday. They were serving to us at the meeting there, serving food, etc. When I imagine those people in the ship, in the storm, probably they were all running, fixing somewhere, working hard, because, you know, you have servant hearts. I saw it. But Jonah was just sleeping. Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish. Those days, yani o günlerde herkes inanıyordu ki bir zorluk varsa, if there is a difficulty, they were thinking one of us sinned. It's coming from sin. That's why, for example, that Poseidon issue. If there was storm, they were taking their children and cutting and throwing it to Poseidon, Greek god. I mean, because on those days, people were thinking problems coming from sin. Well, can we say, is it right? Yep, maybe. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Anyway, the captain said, go and repent to your God. Cry to your God. They have other gods, like Dagon, etc. But captain said, go to the same thing. Do the same thing. Well, finally, 7th and 8th verse, they found why it happened. Not why, but they found it's coming from Jonah. There is something there. So, 8th verse, it says, tell me why this happened. Who are you? Where are you coming from? Then Jonah answered, I am Hebrew. I worship God who created seas, heavens, lands. So, at that moment, they recognized, oh, that God is Yahweh. Okay, they were worshiping to their own gods, but most of the people, nations in the world were hearing about Yahweh, their God. Because Yahweh is a strong God, strong King of Kings, Lord of Lords, right? So, what happened? The storm, everybody cried to their God, but nothing happened. It's not working. Surprise? No, no surprise. Right? Then, what Jonah said, okay, pick me up, throw me into the sea, he replied. 12th verse. And it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. What Jonah was saying here? He was saying, pick me up, but I will not repent. I will go to the right side, even it means you pick me up and throw to the water. Jonah knew that God loves forgive. Forgive us. He forgave us, right? God is a merciful God. Yahweh was a merciful God. He already knew that, but he chose to not repent what he done, have done, but he chose to say, okay, I will go to the right side. Even if I have to die, I will be at the right side. We say in Turkish, inatçı. What is the word in Armenian? Amarı. Anklerin in... Yep, this was exactly he is. And sometimes I, maybe sometimes. Well, what happened? They did it. They picked him up, thrown into the sea. Normally they didn't want to do it, but there was no other way. All of them were dying. So, what happened then? Second chapter, interesting. We will not read all of them, but second chapter says he started to pray and worship God. What happened? A big fish came when he was in the sea and took him up. He spent 3 days in the stomach of the fish, 3 days. But the second chapter says, what he did? He started to pray and worship. Well, I was a worship leader in my church, so I think a stomach is not the best place for prayer and worship. Probably dark, wet, and you don't know where you are. I mean, I don't think there was a sign, this is the fish stomach. I don't think Jonah was knowing where he is. Right? But one thing we should remember, because at the end we will remember this too. Jonah was looking like a free man. He was free, like us. He could do whatever he wanted. He was free. But when the storm came, he started to sleep. He couldn't obey God. You know, because of this heart issue of racism, he couldn't obey God. Honestly, he wasn't free. He was prison of his pain. That's why he couldn't obey God. Anyway, he prayed, he repented, then the verse says, okay, and the Lord, second chapter, 10th verse says, the Lord commanded the fish and it vomited Jonah onto the dry land. Then, what happened? Interesting. God says, 3rd chapter, verse 1, God says to Jonah second time, okay, go to the Nineveh and say them they need to repent. Praise to God, I'm not God. Because if I was God, I would say, Jonah, I said something, so you disobeyed, okay, I will choose someone else. You disobeyed, okay, I will choose someone else. But God, Yahweh, chose Jonah, even he disobeyed. God gave a second chance. Then you can Jonah can follow his calling. He didn't say, okay, Jonah, you disobeyed, it's over. What a merciful God we have, right? What a merciful God we have. Well, interesting, God pushed reset button after that fish issue. How this fish issue happened, honestly, I don't know. What was that fish? Was it a whale or not? I don't know. I love that story that one day in the class, a kid, well, she was teaching the anatomy of the fishes, then the kid stands up and says, teacher, this must be wrong, because if this is right, the story in the Bible, Jonah's story, can't be true. So there must be something wrong that you are teaching. And atheist teacher says, of course, laughed and said, well, maybe the story of Jonah is not true. Maybe that is a lie. And the guy says, kid says, well, one day, if I go to the heaven, I will ask to Jonah, is that all right or wrong? Teacher laughs and says, well, what if you don't go to heaven? No, she said, what if Jonah is not heaven, but if he is at the hell? And kid says, then you will ask. So, I don't know how this happened, but by faith, we believe this has happened. This is true. Word of God is true. And we as Christians, we know it is true, and we have full faith on it, right? Because this is God's word, King's word. Anyway, the other funny part is, the name of Nineveh, the city which God sent Jonah there, theologians, historians says it is coming from Nimrod's, it means it's Nimrod's house. Or another meaning, it is coming from Nunu, which Nunu is in Actidian language, it means fish. So Nineveh name is coming from fish. So it is 800 kilometers, 500 miles from the sea. Why you put a fish name on a city, right? There must be a reason. You can put fish in a seaside city, but it wasn't 500 miles away from seaside. So, what we know from historians, they were worshiping Sumerian god Enki's daughter, god Nanchi. Nanchi was one of Nineveh's gods. They were worshiping Nanchi, and Nanchi was a fish god. We know this from historians. Nanchi was a fish god. And also, from historic evidence, we know they were also worshiping Dagon. You can search, you can Google it, Dagon. What you will see, Dagon was an also fish god too. Upper from here, fish face and human legs. So in Nineveh, they were worshiping two fish gods. That's why it is coming from Nunu. That's why they were calling fish to their city, because they were worshiping fish gods. Well, Hayere Tsuk Gudente, Armenians loves fish to eat. Are you washing fish at the home? Sometimes I do. So that smell doesn't go from my hand maybe 1 week. Is it right? It doesn't go, just one, whatever you do, it's just there. So imagine a man who stayed 3 days inside of a fish. How was he was smelling? So he went into a city who were worshiping to the fishes with the terrible fish smell, with a great story of a fish. He stayed 3 days in a fish. I don't think there was a better choice for the city. If I go there, they will not believe me. But a man with fish smell. You know what? Surprise, what happened after? They repented. They repented. They cried to God. They said, forgive us. It worked. Isn't that surprise? It is, right? God knows. Whatever God does, it's good. Because our God is a good God. So then, okay, let us check the time. I don't want to hold you a lot. I will try to make it. Well, they repented. This is part of our story, storm story. How it happened? 600,000 people in Nineveh repented. 600,000. That's why when I'm reading this story, I'm saying thousands of years ago, if it happened, it can happen in my country too, in Turkey. Because in Turkey, there are 8 million people and 6,700 Christians. But if you love fishing, that's the best place for fishing, because 80 million fishes and only 6,000 fishermen, you cannot find a better place. But God can do this too in my country. Anyway, the key sentence is here, Jonah was looking like a free man, but he wasn't free. He couldn't obey God. Let us go to another story, right? We have another storm story in Acts chapter 27, New Testament. Well, you know Saul, well, Paul. So they caught him, and then they learned he is a Roman citizen. Then he said he was evangelizing everywhere, sharing the gospel, healing, etc. Then he was a danger. They took him, then they learned he is a Roman citizen. Oh, we need to send him away. He's dangerous. And he said, no. Because of the rule of the Roman, you have to send me to the emperor. Because the rule was saying, if a citizen in the court asks to go with his case to the emperor, they should obey, they should do this. So Paul had a calling to go to Rome from God. We are seeing this in letters everywhere. With this calling, he decided to go to Rome and speak with the emperor. So he said, when they were saying, okay, go free, go whatever you want, he said, no, you should take me to the emperor, to Rome. Why he did it? Because God called him to go to Rome. Well, they need to use some ships. Surprise, another ship story. He changed a couple ships when they were going. Key sentences is here. Paul was a prisoner. He wasn't a free man like Jonah. Situation was different. Well, what happened? Chapter 27 says, a wind came. Verse 13, wind. Then it says, a storm came to the ship. Well, Jonah was running away from God. A storm came. Now Paul is running to God's call, and another storm came. Well, that means if we have obedience heart, if we are obeying, a storm can come. If we are not obeying, still a storm can come, right? What happened? Ship was breaking again. Everybody was afraid. Everybody was thinking, oh, I will not see my family again. We will die here into the sea. How we can survive from this storm? Then Paul started to talk in 22nd verse. This is very important. He said, a prisoner said to the whole ship crew, said, be courageous. We will lose the ship, but you will live. You will not die. A prisoner is saying this. Then he said, do not be afraid. I have to go to Rome. My God said, I will go to Rome. Because of this calling, you will all leave. Okay, let's see the difference. Because of Jonah's disobedience, all people in the ship were about dying, right? In danger. Because of Jonah's disobedience, everybody was dying. But because of Paul's obedience, God was protecting everybody in the ship. So this brings to me, if we disobey, not only us, but our families, our churches, our cities can be damaged by storms. But if we obey, God will protect our families, our churches, because of our obedience. Can do. This is what's happening here. Well, what happened then? Paul became a leader in that ship. He was encouraging people. He was saying, okay, you are not eating something. This doesn't work. You need to eat. We need power. Do this. He was leading all the ship. But what Jonah was doing at the time? Sleeping. Well, do not misunderstand me. Beni yanlış anlamayın lütfen. I'm not saying Paul is good, Jonah is bad. Just I'm comparing the facts. Because all of us can be Paul in some time, all of us can be Jonah in some times, right? We all sometimes obey, sometimes disobey. So I'm not comparing those two prophets. They are both godly men. God chosen them. They are in Bible. We respect them. But I'm comparing the facts. Well, Paul was a prisoner, but he became a leader. He was free spiritually. He could follow his calling. Jonah was free, but spiritually he was prisoner. That's why he was sleeping. How we can speak with the storms? If you have storms in your life, maybe we can speak with them. We can ask, what am I doing in the storm? Am I sleeping? If am I, we maybe, the fact maybe look like Jonah's problem. Or if we are obeying and there is a storm, we can trust God. God will protect the ship. Protect you and your church, your family. We can listen to storms, right? Well, I think I have to finish my story with my father, right? Weeks and weeks, we were going to hospital. We were praying for my father and that Kurdish guy. But finally, our prayer team from our church went to him and said, you know what, we love to pray for you, but maybe you will die here. Are you ready to answer for your sins? He said, no. They prayed together. He invited Jesus in his life, in hospital. Then they went to intensive care room with 5 days, he and my father. When I was going down, I was praying for both. Anyway, he passed away. 4 days later, my father was in coma. He was in storm. People were going in, you know, they were saying, can you hear me? And no response, nothing. So 4 days after I went to him and I said, you know, father, can you hear me? If you can hear, give me a sign. Just shake your eyes, do something. Can you hear me? And he did. He did this. So I understand. He heard me. He was inside the storm. I said, do you want me to sing a song? He had some favorite worship songs, like we have some in Turkish, in Armenian too. He said, yes, sing me. He did this. I sing. And I asked, do you want me to sing another one? In intensive care room, many people, doctors, nurses there. I sing another one. Well, I said, Dad, you know what? I love you and you know that we will meet again, right? And he said, yes, I know. He did this. In the storm, he was sure God is with him. The next day he passed away, went to the Lord. But in the storm, in that painful area, he was still leading the ship, like Paul. So my encouragement to you, let us listen to the storms, because sometimes God sends them for a purpose. Let us listen to them. They have something to say to us. God has something to say to us. Let us listen to them. Romans 8 says, God is good for us all the time. Thank you. God bless you.